2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. Title of the message today, A Heritage of Faith. And would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God about a heritage of faith. Verse 3, Paul is writing this to young Timothy, pastor at Ephesus, and at a time when his ministry was in crisis. This young man is hurting. So the Apostle Paul writes this to Timothy in hopes to lift him up out of the depth of despair. Verse 3 says, I thank God. Paul is speaking to Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift which God, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us, please? Amen. You may be seated. As I said, the title of the message today, A Heritage of Faith, and we begin with the demand for faith. Paul, as I said, writes this letter to Timothy. Timothy's the pastor at Ephesus, and he's going through extreme difficulty. We don't know exactly what it is that Timothy faces. However, judging by the things that Paul writes, he's having issues in the church there at Ephesus, doctrinal issues with people straying from good, sound Bible doctrine. He's having issues of people departing from the faith, just falling by the wayside. There are even those in Ephesus that don't like Timothy because he's young. Don't you just not like young people? That's just silly, isn't it? Well, apparently, Paul, you know, is addressing an issue in Timothy that Timothy faces because he says, don't let anyone despise your youth. Yeah? Timothy, you're a young guy. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And I was kidding when I said, don't you not like young people. We love young people. Amen? And Paul tells him, knowing that Timothy's heart is breaking. Paul, in the beginning, he said, man, I'm mindful of your tears. I know what you're going through. It's tough. He said, but in verse 6, he said, but Timothy, stir up that gift of God that is in you, that is in you. Timothy, there's something inside you that'll carry you through this hardness and the difficult times. You know, the fact is, you can't stir up something on the inside that's not there. The thing that was on the inside that made Timothy special was a faith. A faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior that had been passed down through the Apostle Paul. It had been passed down through his grandmother and through his mother down to him. Passed down. And that was still inside it. And Timothy, no doubt, is at that point where he's really questioning and even maybe doubting. I don't know. But Paul said, Timothy, look inside. Remember that God, that faith in Jesus Christ that was given to you, Timothy, it's still there. Stir it up. You know, as I read that, I thought about where our young people are right now. And I thought about the battles that our youth may be facing in the future. I look around at this congregation and, you know, aren't you proud of our young people? Kids, we love you. Moms, dads, fellow church members, we love you. We're glad you're here. But as I look out among you, you know, and as I see teenagers, junior high, you know what comes to my mind? And I say this lovingly. They don't have a clue. You know, it's funny when you're 17, 18 years old, you've got it all figured out, and then about 25 or 30, you come to the realization, I don't have anything figured out. But here's what I know. You know, you're facing things right now that you consider big battles. Things like grades in schools, moms and dads, and I know you probably think that's a big battle, but I'll be honest with you, it's not. Things like winning ball games, being state champions or district champions, or being on the honor roll. See, those are the battles they're fighting right now. And they're worthy battles to fight. I'm not saying, kids, don't leave here and tell mom and dad, Brother Doug said grades are no big deal. I did not say that. Okay? But here's what I want the parents, the moms, the dads to understand. The battles that they're fighting right now are small time. In their future, as they grow up, the battles are going to become bigger and bolder. They're going to be faced with questions that they do not have the answers for. Whereas right now, they're having boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse. In a few years, it's going to be a crisis in marriage. Right now, they're dealing with, how do I save up money for prom and working during the summer so they can have things, they can buy the senior stuff that they have to buy as a senior. In the future, they're going to wind up at home with bills in their hands and no money in the bank, trying to figure out how are they going to make these both ends meet. Big problems. And we won't, you know, and we haven't even mentioned temptation. Temptation that when they're married, you know, they will have committed their life to their spouse. And then at work, this young lady throws herself all over them. How are they going to say no? Or the young lady who's committed her life in marriage to a man and she's at work and some no good boy keeps making a pass at her. How are they going to face that? You see, right now, the world tells them that they can do anything. Just believe. Have you ever heard that? Oh, you're young. Just believe and you can do anything. My question is, believe in what? Believe in what? Well, just believe. Believe in what? Well, believe in yourself. Boy, that works out really good, don't it? Because I have made some real first-class messes trusting myself. How about you? Well, just believe in good. Well, you can believe all the good you want to believe in. However, it doesn't change the bad that's in the world. My point is this. Our young people are facing very difficult times as they grow up. We as adults have an inkling of what they face because we have been through it. Amen? Young people, don't look at your mama and say, oh, you're just old fashioned. The difference between her and you is she's already been there, done that, and dealt with the consequences. And you don't have a clue. Oh, listen, friends. We have got to give our children something to fight with. Amen. You know, when we just tell them to believe, that's kind of like taking a knife to a gunfight. This old world's going to steamroll over them. Satan's going to attack them from every side. And they'll stand there saying, I believe, I believe. And it will do them absolutely no good. They need a faith, a rock rib assurance of faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And as the one who's present with them fighting these battles in life. there is a demand, a need, a necessity for their faith. And parents, it's our job to pass that faith down to them, to demonstrate that faith. You see, we can talk all day long about, oh, this generation just, this is the... At the risk of sounding however it sounds, we hear things like, this generation's going to hell in a handbasket. You ever heard that? I don't know that anybody's ever went to hell in a handbasket, do you? This generation is just like every other generation before. Okay? They're just like us when we were teens back in Noah's day. And if the Lord tarries His coming, there will be another generation behind them. Children need faith, and they need to see a demonstration of faith. They need to see what it looks like, put into practice. Paul said, Timothy, he said, as I thought about what you faced, brother, he said, I remembered something special about you. I was reminded of the genuine faith that had been passed down to you. Let me ask you, parents, what are you passing to your children? You want to give your children an inheritance? Give them an inheritance of faith. Pass down Jesus to your children. That's what Paul said. Man, I'm reminded of the genuine faith that's in you, that was in your grandmother and in your mother. The sincere faith without hypocrisy. You see, Timothy had a grandmother that was the real deal. When your kids look at you, do they see the real deal? I mean, quite honestly, it's very easy to go to church on Sundays. But it's way more difficult to put this being a Christian into practice on Monday. You know? Oh, the kid, you bring your kids to church? Wonderful. Please do that. They need to be here. And we need them here. But do you take what you get from church and apply it to your family when you get back home? See, that's what they need to see. That's what sincere faith is. I want to tell you something. You can't get away with lying to a child. You say, oh, Brother Doug, I'd never lie to my child. Really? Are you what you say you are? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, I love the Lord. But when we say, I love the Lord, you know what those kids are doing? Moms and dads, they're looking at you. And they're looking at your life to see if your life reflects what you say. And they will identify a fraud quicker than anybody. You ever, you know... Well, for example, a lot of people will say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Three words. So easy to say. But let's test. I love test, don't you? Let's test. Come on. Come on, we're moving good. You got to say amen every once in a while so we can get through this thing. All right? Let's have a test this morning. All right? There are a lot of people that would say, I love Jesus. But at the same time, they'll say, but I hate another brother. They'll say, I love Jesus. But when they get home, they'll talk about what a poor job that pastor did today. They say, I love Jesus, but when they get home and before their children say, well, I didn't like the songs Brother Dale picked out this morning. Listen. A lot of people say, I love Jesus, and go back to where it began, and hate their brother. Are you listening? You are a liar. You say, oh no, brother, who are you to say that I'm a liar? Just because I say I love Jesus, but there are Christians that I hate. You are a liar. According to the Word of God, 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Word for word out of the Word of God. Okay? And you know what? Your children hear you say, I love God all day long. But when they see you trash a brother in Christ, they know that you're a liar. The only one you're fooling is yourself. Let's continue the test. Many would say, I love Jesus. But then they'll say, I'm tired of that woman I'm living with. Think I'm going to leave her. I'm going to divorce her. I'm going to get rid of her. Or the woman say, I'm tired. I put up with him all I'm going to put up with. And women, we know y'all put up with a lot. Come on, guys. This is where you say amen. It makes points. Right? Women, we know y'all put up with a lot. Amen. And we appreciate you for that. But every once in a while we come to that point where we say, that's enough. I'm not living with this guy anymore. I'm not living with this woman anymore. I want a divorce. I want out. Oh, but I love Jesus. Do you now? You know what Jesus said? When the Pharisees questioned him in Matthew chapter 19 about divorce, Jesus answered them and said, have you not read how he who made them at the beginning made him male and female, and said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined or glued to or attached to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. When you come to that point where you look at your husband or you look at your wife and say, I'm done, give me a divorce, you know what you are? Number one, you're selfish. Number two, you're a liar if you're saying you're loving God. Why? Because Jesus said, listen, are you with me? Jesus said, if you love me, what? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And you know what? Our children need to see us putting into practice what we say we believe. You don't want to... I want my kids... You say, Brother Doug, you're old. Your kids are grown and gone. They're still my kids. And there's one thing I want for my kids. I want them to say, well, Dad loved Jesus. And he lived it. Okay? That is the greatest gift I can give my kids. Even now, my kids are watching me. And they know I'm not perfect. I'm not kidding anyone. They know I'm not perfect. Oh, but they know I'm trying. They know I'm trying. Listen, if we're going to pass a heritage down that's beneficial, it's going to have to be a heritage of faith. And if it's going to be a heritage of faith, these kids have to see it in practice and see that it works before they will put it into practice. They do. Many say, I love Jesus. Have no time for church. What's wrong with that picture? Well, once again, you're lying. Brother Doug, that's a tough word. No, it's just the truth. You can't say, I love Jesus and not have time for His church or not have a priority to His church. How do you know? Ephesians 3:21, to Him be glory by the church or in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. If Jesus considered His church important, shouldn't we? Listen, don't let church be the first thing that suffers. That's laid aside. You be faithful. You let your kids see you be faithful in church. You want to know why there's a generation that don't want to come to church? I'll tell you, be perfectly honest with you. They've heard for years their mom and daddy didn't want to come to church, but they came anyway because they felt obligated. Whew, that's tough, Brother Doug. But it's the truth. Our kids need to see it demonstrated. Then finally, our kids need an education. Children must be taught. Paul said it. This faith, this genuine faith, dwelt first in your grandmother Lois. Had to start somewhere. You may be here today and you say, well, my parents, they never did, you know, they never did these things, Brother Doug. They never taught me. It's got to start somewhere. The cycle has got to change somewhere. Why not let it change with you? You know? It was passed from Eunice, from Lois down to Timothy's mother Eunice, and Eunice passed it on to Timothy. And I want to tell you something, you will pass it on to your children. If your life is filled with hatred, that's what you'll pass to your children. If your life is filled with bitterness, that's what you'll pass to your children. If your life is filled with prejudice, that's what you will pass on to your children. You know, you want to know why prejudice was so difficult for this nation for so long? Because it was passed down from parents to children. You know, and it's still alive. You're going to pass something down to your children. Why not love, joy, peace, goodness? Why not that? Deuteronomy 6:7, God told Israel, He said, teach your kids. He said, you shall teach them diligently. Teach your law. He's talking about the laws. Teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Let me ask you, do you talk about God in front of your kids? Do you talk about God in front of your kids? Do you brag on kids? Look at what God has given us. Kids, do you see our home? And you may live in a mansion and you may live in an apartment. But I want to tell you what, if you're dry, fed, and you've got clothes, it's a gift of God. Make sure your kids know it. Teach them. Talk with them about God daily. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray with your children? Why not? Brother Doug, prayer is kind of personal. No. No. You know what? We're raising a generation of kids who don't know how to pray because they hadn't heard their parents pray. Does it make sense? What do we pass these things on to our children. Let's just, you know, your kid comes home and they've had a terrible day at school. I have an idea. Instead of patting them on the back and saying, oh, you poor, poor things. You know, put your arm around them and say, let's just go to the Lord. Let's talk to Jesus about this thing. Your friends have abandoned you. You made a bad grade on a test. Let's just talk to Jesus about this thing. You say, oh, Brother Doug, you pray about those things? Absolutely. Teach them to pray about everything. Everything. Do you pray with your child? Do you read the Bible with your child? Yeah, I mean, when they come with answers and they present these problems to you, Mom and Dad, or this is what I'm facing and I don't know what to do. You know what? How about this? How about opening the Word of God and finding how to handle it? Not just offering them advice. You know, if they come home and somebody has abused them at school and they've been treated unfairly. I want to tell you something. Life's not fair. Right? But they've been treated unfairly and they come and their heart's broken. And you tell them when they get home, you sit down with them and you just, they spill out their heart to you and you say, well, that's just not right. I'll not stand for it. I'll go to the principal and we'll tear them off. We'll tear that school apart. Show me where that is here. You know what's here? Love your enemies. Put your arm around that child and say, listen, I know it's hard. I know it's brutal. But you know what? The Bible says, love your enemies. Pray for those who abuse you. You know? Sit down with them and just say a prayer for that teacher that has abused. Listen, teachers, bless your heart. Bless your heart. because you're trying to teach children in which there is no disciplinary support from the home. They need our prayers. But Mom and Dad, you got to pass this faith down to your kids. Do you read your Bible with the kids? Do you make church a priority? Do you worship with your family? Do you worship as a family? Listen, you say, no, Brother Doug, our kids, they say that worship is boring. Are you listening? Are you with me? Everybody's attention. You want to know why your kids say worship is boring? Because you're boring when you worship. I mean, you should sit up here on Sundays and see the big old frowns and the long faces and the attitudes of people are just saying, well, I'll be glad when this is over. That's not worship. Your kids see this. But when Brother Dale says, you know, let's sing whatever song, and you open up and let her fly, oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I can't sing. It doesn't matter if you're the worst bullfrog bass in the church. Your kids need to see somebody excited about Jesus. Somebody who's not afraid for them to hear the praise to Almighty God coming out of their mouth. You see, they need to see you setting an example, putting into practice, educating them on how this faith stuff works. Let them see you worship. Don't just sit there. Don't just sit there. Let them see you serve, and better yet, bring them with you when you serve. I want to tell you something. I love to see fathers and mothers bringing their kids to serve with them. You know, I see kids with their parents in the nursery, helping with the nursery. Praise God, more power to you. Good job. They need to learn how to serve. See, another reason we lose kids is we tell them, you sit there on that bench and don't you move until you're 25 years old. Then we might give you a place to serve. And that's not the way it goes. Okay? Moms and dads, if you're taking up the offering, bring your kid with you. Bring your son up, you know, with you. If you're singing, bring your... I love kids to be in the choir, don't you? Isn't it cool to see kids up there? Bring them with you. Brother Doug, they don't want to come. That's okay. That won't be the first thing in life that they'll have to do they don't want to do. Bring them with you. Make them a part of your service so that when they grow up, they realize that this church stuff is not a spectator sport. It is a serving that honors God. You see, that's faith that's passed down. That's faith that'll go from one generation to the next. So, Brother Doug, how do you know these things really work? Been there and done that. And you know my only regret as a father? I will share with you my true regret as a father is I could have given my kids more Jesus. I could have. I could have. And I did not. Now, I didn't say I didn't. I brought them up in church. You know, I did. And probably did the best I knew how to do at that time. But looking back, I could have given my kids more Jesus. I could have shown them how to serve better. I could have passed it down better than I did. And I guess we can all say that. But let me tell you something. If you're a parent, if you are a parent today, if you are a mother, your job is vital to the future of your child. You pass down Jesus, please. Pass down Jesus. Why? Because in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1, it says, in the last days, perilous times will come. You know we're living in the last days. Perilous times. It's going to get tough. This world is not going to get any better. Okay? We're going the wrong direction to get better. We're living in the last days.
And if our children are not equipped to handle these perilous times through their faith, they don't stand a chance. Equip your children. Be mothers that pass down their faith. Be fathers that pass down their faith. I know this has been more of a message, a family message than focusing on mothers alone, but it's what God laid on my heart. So that's what you got, right? But let me tell you something. Our kids deserve our very best. Amen? Our kids, I'm going to try that one more time. Our kids deserve our very best. Amen? The best thing that we can give our kids is Jesus Christ. That's it. Are you a child of God? What about you? Are you equipped to handle these days in which we live? Are you a child of God? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? If not, my friends, I want you to understand I love you. And I'm not telling you this to be harsh, but you don't have a chance. You see, what most people don't realize is we're fighting spiritual battles every direction. And for you to fight a spiritual battle, you've got to be equipped. And that equipment begins with making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Okay? You've got to have an ally. You can't fight these battles alone. Are you a child of God? If not, I want you to understand Jesus loved you so much that He went to the cross of Calvary to take your punishment, the punishment for your sin, to die for you because you are a sinner. All right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody present. The thing is, Jesus gave you a way to deal with your sin. For forgiveness, to have that sin cast as far as east is from the west. You want to know what? Wouldn't it be awesome if you could take away every mistake you've ever made? And you look back and there, your life would be mistakeless, if there is such a word. Well, that's kind of what happens with Jesus. Your sin is placed upon Jesus. And that's what Calvary was about. He died for your sin. And you know what He gave you in return? He offers you the righteousness of God. It says, here is the gift of salvation. Have you received the gift? If not, this invitation is for you. Maybe you're here today and things at home are tough. Your kids are going through battles. Your marriage is going through battles. Whatever you need, I want you to understand the power of prayer. Prayer changes things. Friends, I ask you to do this one thing. Listen to Jesus during this invitation. Jesus is here. He speaks. And do what He leads you to do. Heavenly Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for everyone that's present. And Lord, we're all reminded today of our responsibility as Your children to pass down our faith. That, Lord, anything short of that, and we're not being fair to our children. We're not equipping them to live in a hostile world. Father, I pray that right now You will convict of sin and that You will turn all hearts to You. In Jesus' name.